leaked transcript of DRIPA meeting. This story from April 3rd, 2026. So, a leaked transcript of a meeting between Indigenous leaders and British Columbia Premier Dave Eby is about his plan to suspend the province's Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, shows them accusing him of absolute betrayal and colonialism. Speaker after speaker in the 17,000-word transcript of Thursday's meeting obtained by the Canadian press criticized Eby's handling of DRIPA, which he says needs to be suspended for up to 3 years. DRIPA is at the center of a legal and political storm after being cited by First Nations in two landmark cases this year, including an appeal ruling that says the act should be properly interpreted to incorporate the UN's Declaration of Rights of Indigenous People with immediate legal effect. The transcript provided by a person in attendance on the condition that no First Nations leaders are identified showed one speaker telling Eby he has insisted on fracturing the relationship between First Nations and BC by saying this week that changing DRIPA was, quote, non-negotiable. Another tells Eby the premise of the meeting is disingenuous. The transcript shows that Eby started the meeting by telling attendees that the so-called Gitxsala ruling by the BC Court of Appeal in December found the UN declaration had been implemented by the province as a whole. He says that the ruling, which created a huge legal uncertainty, effectively meant the province would need to, quote, eat the whole elephant of UNDRIP all at once and across all of its laws, which the government lacked the staff and political capital to do. He says that the government proposed to introduce legislation to implement the suspension the week after next, and that the pause of up to 3 years is to give time for the Supreme Court of Canada to rule on the government's appeal in the Gitxsala case, which was centered among mining rules. So, it's interesting. The appeal found in favor of Indigenous people, and now they want to pause the reason for that approval so that they can appeal it with that not in place. That seems disingenuous, to say the least. The transcript and a document provided by the Canadian press's source meeting suggests they consist... Oh, sorry, here we go. Sorry. At the conference, EB declined to specify which sections of legislation would be suspended. I'm sure we can guess. Source of the meeting suggests that they consist of four sections of DRIPA plus a section of the Interpretation Act, which describes how BC's laws must be interpreted. The Interpretation Act section facing suspension says that every act and regulation must be construed as being consistent with DRIPA. While a section of DRIPA to be paused says nothing should be construed as delaying its application to BC's laws. So, there you go. The section saying the act's purpose is to affirm the application of DRIPA is also to be paused, as is a section saying the government must take all measures necessary to ensure laws are consistent with it. In the transcript, EB acknowledges the government's previous plan to amend DRIPA has been completely opposed by First Nations. Now, it's my hope, it's Cabinet's hope, it's the government's hope that this is a better solution to address the legal risks we are facing. The response to this transcript is far from enthusiastic. I don't understand why you insist on fracturing the relationship between First Nations and BC by saying these things publicly, one respondent says, referring to Eby's remarks on changes to DRIPA being non-negotiable. It really shook my confidence in you as a premier and your ability to work with us on something so important as DRIPA, adding... adding that Eby is not there anymore as a partner. One leader tells Eby he's making a rash decisions. Another tells of their extreme feeling of disappointment, and another that this smacks of colonialism. One attendee accused Eby of, quote, Indian giving, and that says that after finally seeing some light in the way the First Nations are treated by government, Eby's move closes the door. The fact that you're doing this now, these feelings and the sentiment that you're putting forward is the same sentiment of colonialization, a piece by piece taking of our rights and purpose. At least one leader expresses doubt about the wisdom of opposing government considering the opposition BC Conservatives are running on appealing on repealing DRIPA, which is what we've talked about. They have had their fear campaign about DRIPA just recently. Late in the meeting, one leader tries to inject a light moment, referring back to Eby's elephant analogy, Eating an elephant, it can be done with help. We could fry it and boil it. We could barbecue it. The lasagna I ate yesterday, I said I'm a family of four. EB told the subsequent news conference that enacting the suspension would represent a confidence vote for his government. In a way, it will. So there you go. It's a lot of information that I've just kind of blasted out at you. But what's really important to remember here is it is showing that what the conservatives have done in openly touring around a lie worked. They were able to do it. They were able to stir up their base enough, clearly, that EB has decided to do what they've asked. He says it's temporary for 3 years. He won't be in power for it to, for him to feel the blowback on that. He will not be reelected by doing this, and likely conservatives will be. And this is what they wanted in the first place. So they've gotten him to do it for them. And it's a mistake. I doubt he's listening to this, but you are making a mistake, EB. You are bowing to pressure from a party that is building their campaign on colonialism and racism, and who is going to communities and openly lying about what DRIPA is and what it means. And you are showing who you are with this. And this is something I've said before and what I will continue to say. When people show you who they are, believe them. And I know that there is so much talk about harm reduction voting and, oh, we vote for the less evil of the two or the four or the whatever. Functionally, I think they're proving more and more that they are all the same. And it's extremely disappointing. And you can bet that the 3 years that this is paused will result in a lot of development happening without consent of Indigenous people. We've already had the fast tracking of significant infrastructural programs. That plus this means we will see our pipeline very soon. And it's going to be bad. It just is. There's no other way to put it other than to say that what happens next is going to be a problem. Because at what point do you think people will just give up? And I think that's what they're hoping for. I think that they are hoping that you will just give up. And I don't think that ends well for anybody. So, links to all the stories for a bit more of a closer read are in the description for this episode. I strongly recommend you check it out and voice your concern, if not outrage. And I don't know how we're supposed to have confidence in any one political party when they all do the same things. They get power and go back on what they've said. I have no confidence in the provincial or federal government parties anymore. I mean, that's been gone for a while, but it's just they're all the same. They're all the same. And they should truly, well and truly, be ashamed of themselves. And they're not. That's the other thing. They're absolutely not ashamed of themselves. I've said before, too, you know, UNDRIP and DRIPA, Indigenous people have told you what they need for reconciliation. And we are not willing to make the changes that are necessary out of our own self-interest. So we're obviously not that interested in reconciliation, if that's the case. And that just becomes more and more clear. So, Okay, we're going to listen to Long Fell Sorrow with One More Embrace, and then we're going to talk about why it was stupid to send people to the moon. All right, here we go. We'll be right back. right. That was a long felt sorrow with one more embrace. This is Sierra Moose Radio. We just finished talking about Eby, and now we're going to talk about the Artemis II. I know that some folks might be excited about it, so I apologize for being Captain Buzzkill to Major Tom or whatever. But and I want to say too, this has nothing really to do with the crew or the scientists or anything like that. Victor Glover, Christina Koch, Reed Wiseman, and Jeremy Hansen. I'm not coming at you for this. But what gets me about it, and for folks who don't know, according to a very cursory Google, the launch leading up to it is costs about $4 billion. And the project overall reaches about $93 billion. So I think about the things that we are currently dealing with in the world and the ways that that kind of money could be used to save the lives of people here on Earth right now. And look, I think that, you know, science must happen. And I think space travel is very cool because I also grew up, watching movies about going to space. I'm not so old that I saw the first moon landing, but you know, there is obviously a romantic and exciting side to it. But why now? Why are we going to the moon now? We're in so far over our heads on Earth. And someone thought the best thing to do right now with everything going on is to send four people to the moon. I just don't understand. And, you know, people can say, well, that's not, the money was for that, so they have to spend it on that. And to that I would say, are you trying to tell me that a government has never redirected money from one thing to another thing? And it's hard because I've seen the enthusiasm that people have for this and that they're excited by it. And right now, I bet it feels good to have distractions from that hellscape that we're in. But the thing is, $4 billion could solve a whole lot of problems, if not most of them. $98 billion could change the face of the planet that we live on. And we thought the best way to spend that was to go to space. And it's hard for me to get particularly enthusiastic when I have to watch, you know, organizations like the Bulkley Valley Harm Reduction Society fight the public in their efforts to house people. Even temporarily, they have since closed the door for the season. So, I don't know. It just feels very frivolous when we're facing down the things that we're facing down. So, you know, maybe that sucks, and maybe you disagree. And maybe going to space is more important than whatever else, but it just seems like right now, especially, it's a luxury we can't really afford. And we're forcing it to happen anyway. So, not a fan. And again, like I said, I'm not coming after the astronauts or whatever. I don't feel that way. It's just that we could have done so many things with that kind of funding. And it's a reminder that governments have this money to spend on things like this and refuse to spend it elsewhere. So why, like, what's the point? I'm feeling very defeated about it, you know, but it really kind of disappointed me. I wasn't filled with wonder and joy at knowing that we're going to the moon again. I thought, man, have we really got our shit all together down here that we have time for that? And I don't know. Maybe we do, but it sure doesn't feel like we do. I just don't get it. But you know, clearly I am not aligned in priority with the government or whatever, or the Canadian Space Agency or NASA, and like, I think that those things should exist, NASA and the Canadian Space Agency. I think that it's not a bad thing that they exist, but I wonder, like, we're talking earlier about how EB wants to pause DRIPA for 3 years. I wonder if pausing going to space for a minute might have been the call, and redirecting some of that money elsewhere to directly help the people who need help. We're watching people continuing to die from opioids. We're watching even like gas and grocery prices going up. We're seeing people who don't have housing, and we're seeing a lack of that housing. We're seeing so many things, and we want to shoot 4 people to the moon. And I just can't get my head around a society and a culture that thinks that is the right call. But that's, you know, that's me, I guess. And that's, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the response should be. I don't know. But I just think that it was a bad decision. And it feels very, it feels more like a distraction than a genuine pursuit of knowledge, which is what it should be, is a pursuit of knowledge. But it just seems more like an effort from people in positions of power to go, oh, but look over there. Look at the shiny thing over there. We found that. That's cool, right? And I wonder if it is. And you know what? Maybe I'm wrong too. Maybe everybody feels the same way. Maybe that's where you're all at too. I've just been seeing a lot of excited promotion and, you know, launch parties, and I don't know. I guess I feel like the buzzkill in the situation, and I also don't care that I'm that, because we're just not in a spot as a species where we shouldn't have the confidence that everything is okay to be doing that. So that's me. That's what I think. But I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about the moon and going there right now? Maybe you totally disagree with me. All right, we're going to end the hour with Lacrimose Lamb and their song called The Martyr. And in parentheses, I Still Love You. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Skulk, which is a thing I'm very excited to talk about. And yeah, you know, it's going to be a good time. I hope it's a good time. As always, you can check out more from me and from the show and everything else over at themarsh.ca or smithersradio.com. There's always plenty going on there, and I'm vamping a little bit because I haven't quite lined up the the song where it needs to go, but we're getting it. We're getting there. I think. All right, yeah, close enough. All right, so this is Lacrimose Lamb, the martyr, and we are going to be right back on Syrup Moose Radio. I hope you'll join me for the second hour. It'll be a little bit more fun than the first, as usual. That's how I try and do it.
Will I ever see him again? Well, you never know. The world's a magical place.
You are listening to Syrup Moose Radio, a show from 93.9 FM, CICK, located in Smithers, British Columbia.